Blog Talk Radio.
As the tears are falling from my face, with all my fears I long for your embrace. How am I gonna carry on and be the one you leave?
Song Lie Awake. And folks, I like to start the show off with a song and kind of get us into the mood. Sometimes we play three or four songs, sometimes we play half a dozen songs, but ultimately the whole goal is to get everybody up and ready and say, hey, here comes Continue Mission. We used to play, and we still do from time to time, to play, you know, all of the military songs. Now, I don't know even know that the Space Force has a song now. I'm sure it does. And I don't want to poke at them, you know, because they are the newest kids on the block. And that's what us military folks have a tendency to do, is to hammer on the new kids. But, you know, maybe it's the theme to Star Trek. I don't know, since the symbol is kind of the same. I don't know. That's meant as a joke, folks. But anyways, welcome to Continue Mission. tonight, the 29th of September, 2023. God bless America and God bless each and every one of you that are on here tonight. You know, I'm very blessed to live in the community that I live in. And I just want to, do a little shout out to some people that I've got to meet during the week and during the, you know, this election cycle in particular. I met Derek Evans yesterday, and Derek Evans was a West Virginia House of Delegates member that was at January 6th, okay? He was an elected Republican official from the state of West Virginia, and he did go in and peacefully, and there's videotapes of him peacefully in the Capitol. And, you know, after it was over, there were a lot of people that were raked across the coals on that. Now, some people did some bad stuff in there, and those are the ones that I can tell you. I don't support or condone any kind of terrorist activities whatsoever. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. You know, we have a country that allows for us to, you know, come together and peacefully gather so that we can address our grievances with the country. There were some grievances. There's still some grievances, and things are coming out each and every day, things that we didn't always know. But the bad players, the people that did bad, the people that hurt, tore up, destroyed things, you got in trouble for that. You probably deserved that, okay? There's no sense in going in and acting that way. But a guy like Derek Evans goes in, and he becomes a sacrificial lamb, okay? Now, I support law enforcement, and I support law and order, and I definitely support the U.S. Constitution. But I do not support, you know, the radicalization, the militarization, or the politicalization of the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, and all these other organizations that are out there. You have no right. The Congress has, the U.S. Constitution has not given you the right to just inadvertently or willy-nilly carry out, you know, these attacks on people, rip them out of their homes, away from their children, psychologically, you know, destroy their families, financially destroy them, all for the purpose of making a point. That's wrong. And I'm calling on all you veterans out there to start opening your eyes and, more importantly, open up your dang mouths, okay, and vote. You know, everybody talks about the veterans. We took an oath. We did this. We get a lot of respect for what we did. But we're letting things happen on our watch, okay, that shouldn't be happening. Now, I'm not saying go get a gun or do anything violent. I'm not saying that. I do not advocate that. But I am saying that you have to be able to peacefully protest. But you have to be ready to defend your rights. Came a time when the people of the colonies said enough is enough. You're not going to kick in my door, rape my wife, take my cattle, burn my house, sleep in my home, do whatever you want to do. The same thing happened to the Scots. The same thing happened to the Irish. And it happened here. You know, and it's starting to happen now. It's not starting. It's been happening. And I will venture to say it's been going on for a long time. But it really got on, you know, meth speed during the Obama administration. Well, Clinton administration started to really see a decline in the deprivation. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, everybody has their, you know, their demon that they deal with. And I'm, you know, this is Father Michael's area here, and I'm sure that he'll speak on this. But sex has been a big one, whether it be straight sex or gay sex or whatever else that they got out there. Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, you know, Obama, Michael, Michelle, whatever, I don't know, okay? But I know that a lot of people are asking a lot of questions, and it's strange. It's strange that we look around and we see the most perverted things going on now. So anyway, so I met with Derek Evans yesterday, and let me just say, I support him, okay? I support him. I think he'd be an excellent congressman for the state of West Virginia. I do. Now, I know some people are going to come out and attack me because, you know, he went to jail for January 6th. He did. And he paid his debt to society. He came out. You know, I find it funny that the liberals will attack him for that, but yet they want us to welcome in all of these illegal immigrants who have criminal records from here to Tijuana, okay? I'm just telling you. Oh, forgive them, forgive them. Oh, don't worry about what Black Lives Matter did. They burn a few buildings down. What does it matter? Insurance covered it. But oh, no, not this guy. He went into the Capitol on January 6th, makes him the worst criminal. Never killed nobody, never hurt nobody, never burned anything, never stole anything, never destroyed anything. Okay? But he went to jail. But you've got, they just finally arrested another one of Tupac Shakur's killers. And how many years ago was that? Just arrested him. He's walked free for 30 plus years. However long it's been, I don't even know. It's been a long time. But that's the kind of stuff that you see, this miscarriage of justice. Or worse, you see the abuse of justice. The abuse of justice. I condemn anyone that violently does wicked things. I do. I think that it actually, when I say condemn, condemn's a strong word. I'm against that. I'm against anyone abusing their position. I'm against anyone attacking and destroying somebody else's property. I'm against that 100%. You can't be an American citizen and not be against it. If you're not against that and you think that it's okay to go in and destroy and do those things, then you know, really, I question your loyalty to the country. Because it's not right. You can't just do that. It's the same thing that happened, you know, in Washington and all these other places. So we're gonna get right to the meat of this thing. So, you know, I met Derek Evans yesterday and got to actually sit right across the table. That's what you got to do. You got to go talk to people. The difference between him and some other political cowards that I've dealt with in my time is at least he had the guts and the courage to come in and speak with someone and to answer the tough questions. And he did a great job. So I'm going to say this, okay? I believe that he'll make an excellent congressman. And I believe that, you know, a lot of people are not counting on him bringing a lot of votes, but I'm going to just tell you, you might be surprised at the end of that election if he wins. If he wins the primary, he will win the general election, hands down. The only way he won't win it, is if there's some sort of cheating, something. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that they'll do something, you know what I mean, to hinder and harm him. And a lot of people have tried to get his name off the ballot and things like that. I mean, that's, you know, folks. The same side that wants to take Donald Trump off the ballot is the same side that's okay. That's okay with forgiving the illegal immigrants that have murdered, raped, stolen, killed, and plundered. They're okay with trying to negotiate a deal with terrorists. They're okay with turning tail and running in Afghanistan and burying 19 Marines and or 18 Marines and one soldier. They're okay with that. That's okay with them. Okay, They would let them run for president. They would. They've got one in office now. Ilhan Omar. You know, there's no hate in saying what she is. We know what she is. She doesn't love America. Come on, folks. Are we blind, deaf, and dumb? Stevie Wonder can see what she is. Ray Charles can, too, from a far way off. So I'm just telling you that there is a movement in this country that is Joe Biden's administration. And I think Joe Biden is just totally out of it. I think that Joe Biden is the worst president we've ever had in the history of this country. They need to dig up Richard Nixon and apologize to him for all of the hate and the vitriol that they put on Richard Nixon for the Watergate scandal. Lord, if we only just had to deal with a Watergate scandal. Look at the scandals we're dealing with right now. Cutting deals with our enemies. Come on, folks. The Chinese government's buying up farms next to military bases. I mean, everybody sees that that's wrong. Except for the Biden administration. Except for that circus. That zoo that he's got up there running this country. And they don't like you when you say that. I mean, let me tell you something. People, they just come and show up. They can just come up and arrest you now for no reason. Don't think that they can't, because they can. They can come in and say, we have suspicion and you're a dangerous person. My friend had a radio show for 20-some years. The only conservative radio show, the real conservative radio show in West Virginia. I'm just going to tell you, Tom Roten had the most conservative radio show. Him and I did not always see eye to eye 100% of the time, but I always had a tremendous amount of respect for him. And I can tell you this. They shut him down. They said, well, we had to make some adjustments. We had to, you know, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have a transgender show that's going to replace it or something to do with some kind of some family destructive thing. They're systematically destroying the family unit. So let me tell you guys a little secret. Okay, I don't have a problem with people that pretend to be women or women that pretend to be men or any of that. But I can tell you this. If you drop 100 men and 50 of them are pretending to be women on an island, in 100 years, you're going to have 100 skeletons. Okay? Period. Man and woman are supposed to marry and have children. It is ordained by God. Okay? So I'm not hating. I know somebody says I'm always hating. You know, it's not hate. It's fact. You put 100 men and 50 of them, they identify as women. And you have to, you're identifying as a woman. 100 of you drop on the island. We marry them even, okay? Drop them on an island. How many kids are you going to have in 100 years? None. So you systematically destroy the family unit. And then you make everybody dependent on the government. So the only people that are having children are people like us, or, you know, the drug addicted people, or the people that can be controlled. And it's not far-fetched. It's the truth. So anyways, we've got a lot of things to talk about tonight. You know, I say good luck, Derek Evans. And I just had a real good call with Rashida Yost. Rashida Yost is a gubernatorial candidate for the state of West Virginia. Rashida is a wonderful lady. And, you know, I support Mac Warner for governor of West Virginia 100%. That's our guy. U.S. Army, retired, wonderful person. But I'm still friends with Rashida Yost, and I think that she's a great person. And I think that, you know, in a Mac Warner administration, somebody like Rashida Yost would probably be really good in taking care and cleaning up and fixing DHHR, because it's a train wreck. okay? It's a train wreck. The foster system and foster children's system, these poor kids, they get shoved around and they get, you know, thank God for people like you, Father Mike, that, you know, I don't know how many kids that you've taken care of in your lifetime, but I know it's been quite a few. But there are some, you know, there are some kids out there, and you know this is true, they are put into these, shoved into these homes because these people are just living off of the $300, $400, $500, $600, however much it is they get a month for each one of these kids. And I've seen some of these homes have as many as, I don't know, 15 kids in it. And I mean, that home could never, I mean, I couldn't have 15 kids in my home, and I've got, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I've got 9 bedrooms in this house, but I couldn't put 15 kids in here. It'd be uncomfortable. You know what I mean? So anyways, Rashida Yost, just got off the phone with her. I think she's listening in as well tonight. God bless you, Rashida. We really, really, really like you. And I want them to come on the radio show. Mac Warner, you know, Rashida Yost, you know, Derek Evans. I'd like for people to hear his story, his side of the story, on what happened January the 6th. And I think 135,000 listeners down here, you know, and I know not all of you agree with me. I know some of you just come on here to poke at me, you know, or to call or to send messages or whatever. But, and that's okay. That's the great thing about being in America. So tonight on Continue Mission, we are going to talk about the difficult topics. And so let me just tell you, we are going to talk about, the last count was nearly 1,100 people daily pouring across our borders. A 95-year-old veteran gets the boot in a nursing home to make way for illegal immigrants in New York. And the government is looking to shut down. Mitch has done some great research on government shutdowns. And Father Michael, I know that you have done some research on some of the things, the evil and the wickedness that comes in. And again, I don't want to get into your all's lanes. But gentlemen, God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let us go. How has your week been?
Excellent. And we finally got the air conditioning fixed in the church. I had a memorial service today, today being St. Michael and All Angels Feast Day, and had a student from William & Mary had 10 years ago. Evidently, I made an impact on him, and he asked me to do something for cancer wellness. I think I sent you a blurb for that at the end of October there in Chicago. So things are moving along. It's great to be all together again, me, you,
yeah,
and Mitch.
Hey, you know what's really good is you're actually communicating with my oldest son now, you know, Kyle. And what a blessing. You know, I talked to him a couple of days ago, and he just, I mean, you've really made a positive, special impact on him, and I'm thankful for that. It's a blessing that we can have this kind of a relationship, and our families can connect like this. What a blessing.
Amen.
To God goes the glory, right?
Amen.
Amen. Rich, how about you, old buddy? You didn't get beat up again this week, because if you did, we'll come down there and we'll take care of it for you.
Yesterday, I buried one of my classmates at Arlington. And now he retired as a colonel, so he, colonels and above, you get a military band, right? Mm-hmm. But there is a large number of, you know, former officers and stuff, you know, all these Beltway bandits in that area. So I think probably 40 or 50 of my classmates were there. So, you know, the family held a reception at the Army Navy Club in D.C. So it gave us a chance to socialize. And since I'm writing the history of my class, you know, we got to bump it. You know, it's seriously, the problem is trying to recognize everybody after 50 years. And yeah. But anyway, no, Tom O'Donnell was prior service. We went through the prep school together, and then we were in the same company the first 2 years at West Point. I didn't know who it was, but we have these TAC officers, and some of them are just royal flames. They just, you know, just write you up for anything, unforgiving. And Smoking Joe Kinzer, who becomes General Kinzer, was there, and he was the most notorious flaming TAC, why everybody called him Smoking Joe. I asked on our forum, I said, so who dumped a bucket of water on Smoking Joe? And it came back, it was O'Donnell, you know, and all of us had just honored him with the burial. And turns out he just had this, he had a lot of wit. And him and Dave Reeves, what they did was there was a sally port where people walk in and out, and they had it down because Tom's room was over the sally port, that he could drop like fruit or water balloons and knew, you know, they had a spot mark. And so someone would set it up that the person would walk into that spot and then they would drop it. Well, Tom got this idea, hey, take my trash can, fill it up with water and dump it. Okay. Well, so they had it set up, and there was an upperclassman who's always trying to figure out who was doing that, and they were setting a trap for him. But as he was hit the mark, he came to attention and saluted enough to walk Major Kinzer, who was the officer of the OC, you know, the off-duty officer that day, when that bucket hit him. Now, I'd heard different stories about it, but you know, here it is. You just nailed the place. So they're all in hiding, and Kinzer's going through the rooms, you know, looking for, you know, evidence, which there was water on the floor and the windowsill. And so Tom O'Donnell finally goes up and confesses to him and says, sir, it was me. And he said he was just soaked. His uniform was soaked. His hat was soaked. And, you know, he said, well, you know, he congratulated him for admitting it. But he went ahead and reported him to it, wrote him up for his TAC. So the next day Tom had to report to his TAC officer. You know, they're all like laughing their asses off because they didn't like Smoking Joe either. And they gave him minor punishment. So anyway, it was good. It's good to meet, and catch up. Like one of my classmates ended up going, he's a prepster too, but I never remembered him. And he said, yeah, because he was struggling with the academics. He had no free time to socialize. So he was always hitting the books. And then he just had that personality that, you know, he wasn't real outgoing. But he left the Army to go into the State Department, ends up in Iraq during the war. And he had a very interesting perspective, the State Department perspective. So I'm like, okay, I definitely got to get this guy's story for the for our history. So anyway, that was it was good. It was good to see the friends we haven't seen in several decades. Yeah, but hard to recognize them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that something?
My wife's going to her 50th next month, and so I'm sure you wear name tags, no?
Yeah. No, I guess the one thing I have to say about, I mean, someone asked me, what I liked about West Point. I probably said, probably not a lot. It was hard. It wasn't a fun experience. Not like everybody else's college experience. But the one great thing about it is, for the next 5 years, you know where all your classmates are going because they're all going into the Army. Many of them are going to make professions at it. You're going to run into them over and over and over and over again, all right? Whereas with other schools, you get scattered to the winds. Everybody goes off into different professions and stuff. But, you know, for the most part, you know, more than half of them are going to go into business, but they're going to rise up, you know, and it's it's neat that we come together and we can share these experiences, because the majority, there are some that are not successful, but the majority are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have 28 generals in my class. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool, man. That is really cool. So let us talk a little bit about the numbers, the numbers. I'm hearing 1,100 a day on average in some places, you know, and I'll tell you, as you know, we've got Greg Meekin and Val Olson, you know, how we talk about the Alberta 51 movement. And you know, they are in Arizona and they're watching this, you know, they're watching it from the perspective of Sheriff Mark Lamb, who's down there. And he's running for Senate, by the way. That's another guy that I'm endorsing is Sheriff Mark Lamb. I say vote for him if you're in Arizona. Send him to the Senate and help clean this place up a little bit. But I'm telling you, we're seeing Eagle Pass, Eagle Pass, Eagle Pass. It's a big place, you know, Texas, Texas, Texas. But what we're not really talking about is Southern California. We're not talking about New Mexico. We're not talking about Arizona. I mean, there's a lot of
places. Did you hear what the press secretary said today, James? Excuse me? Did you hear what she said about the border?
You know, let's hear it because I need a good laugh.
She said Biden has done more for securing the border than anyone in history.
You know, and she's done more. I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to say.
Oh, that. I mean blatantly. either ignorant or deceived or out of touch, you know, in the same way that Hillary Clinton said about Dianne Feinstein,
no,
she shouldn't retire.
No.
You know, what's wrong with these people as far as being in touch with reality?
Well, let's just touch on the press secretary.
Yeah.
She has never.
She said, I saw it twice.
She has never said anything that you could trust. She has never, you know, that Jen Psaki, whatever her name was. She was a much better.
Mm-hmm.
She was much better. I mean, I didn't like what she was had to say either.
She was sassy.
But at least she was sassy, and she, you know, and I kind of liked her. But this one, you know, she's done about as. She's about as truthful as them saying that men can get pregnant, okay? So I'm just going to just leave it at that. It just doesn't happen. So, Rich, what do you think?
And that's the – you have to be a spin master. So, you know, you want to keep your job. The press secretary is paid to make her boss look good, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Her, the problem's not her. The problem's Biden, okay? Right? So it's like Bidenomics. I run out of money. You know, after, you know, I get paychecks, you know, like the first 2 weeks and then the next 2 weeks of the month. And because my mortgage comes due, I run out of money, you know. When I retired 4 years ago, we were doing good. Now we have savings, but we're now having to dig into our savings to pay bills.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bidenomics. Now, the thing is, like, everything's up. Everything's up. You know,
right.
If gas price goes up, so does everything else. People talk mm-hmm. about going to the grocery store, spending $100 and walking out with one bag. I'm like, we can see it. The average person can see it. And the polls reflect that. But she still has to put the best spin on this. So if Biden is out there touting Bidenomics and the success of it, she has to admit it. She has to spin that too. Otherwise, she loses her job. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the better the spin she gets, the more likely she's going to get an anchor position with one of the liberal mainstream medias after it's over.
Oh, she right. will. As long as she brings her wife in there, she'll get it. I'm telling you. That's just the way it is, guys. I mean, I'm telling you right now, it's she has nothing to do with her talent, that why she was elected. She has no talent. There is no talent. There's no talent.
Wait, no, I'm going to disagree. I get disagree.
She has no talent.
I mean, so tell me why she has no talent.
I mean, look, you're supposed to, if you're supposed to put the spin on it, putting the spin on it's
right.
one thing. But spitting on mm-hmm. it and totally lying about it is a whole nother thing.
Okay.
I mean, where's integrity?
The man she is trying to defend is a habitual liar.
Well, just like
a habitual liar. Biden's a habitual liar. So
that's true.
You know, you tell the truth, you're exposing your boss.
In chief.
She is, you know, so. But I take offense at what you said. She had no talent.
She has none, and I can see no talent.
No. Why would you say she's up there? No, she's not telling the truth. But you're saying she has no talent.
She has no talent.
Why does she have no talent? Tell me why she has no talent.
Well, I'll tell you why she has no talent. Number one,
right.
Have you ever seen how she always takes a breath before she talks? I mean, it is one of those things.
That's an idiosyncrasy. That has nothing to do. James, you got idiosyncrasy. Your monologue in the beginning, there is a lot of things wrong with your monologue. So do you have no talent?
No.
I mean, you really go off several times you're almost as bad as she is, okay, I'm putting a spin on
her. Oh, now, Rich, come on now. I'm
being honest, James, because you right now you take – look, okay, this guy that you are praising, I remember
mm-hmm.
you condemning him for being involved in the January 6th thing.
What
changed your mind about that?
Well, whenever you do a deep dive and investigation, here's what I had totally against all of that was the destruction
mm-hmm.
because that reminded me of the
no,
Trump
no, no, I got that. I got that. I got that. But
all right,
the important thing is you just said you did a deep dive, and what did you learn?
So when you do the deep – well, what I learned from the deep dive, there were several entries
mm-hmm.
in – okay.
Right.
The entry
right.
that you see with the idiots that are out there, you know, tearing stuff up and stuff, the same door that everybody went into. I mean, there's several ways to get
into
the U.S. Capitol. And so my problem with the way, and again, Jean-Pierre, whatever her name is, she likes to spin it just like her boss likes to spin it as that they were all doing the same thing. And that's not true. But the ones you're putting in jail, the ones that you're persecuting,
got it,
and prosecuting, it really shouldn't be a prosecution. It's called persecution. The one that you're the ones that you're persecuting are the easiest, the low hanging fruit. So it's the elected officials that happen to be there, the veterans that happen to be there. I mean, they killed a veteran, for God's sake.
All right, you're drifting. You're drifting off. All right. First of all, you condemn this guy, and now you're praising him.
I didn't condemn him in particular. No, I didn't. I never condemned him in particular. I condemned the act.
All right. What did you do when you were talking about how a elected official from your state participated
mm-hmm.
in the January 6th thing?
Hey, look,
he
wasn't the only one there. I wasn't talking just about him.
I know that. All right.
He wasn't the only
one
there.
I'm just trying to point out, James, see, you've done research to find out that he, in your mind, he did no crime. But in the mind of a prejudiced court, he did, and he went to jail for it. The facts will show he went to jail for it.
That's true.
Based on your research, we now know that a lot of this was very peaceful. A lot of people just walked through there like they were taking a tour. Which you can legally do. You can legally visit your capital, okay? And we have video of the guards actually escort, and they're following. They're staying within the what are those truncheons or whatever they are. Okay, they're like they're being very peaceful. Okay, so what you're telling me is you've done your homework, but you hadn't done your homework before when. Whatever you say, condemn it.
Again, I said the act of destruction. There's no doubt there was destruction. There's
no
doubt.
No, you singled him out because he was there.
No, Rich, not
without
him.
Knowing what his role was.
Not him in particular. Yeah. I'm talking about there were several people that were there. He was not part of that group that stormed the Capitol steps.
No, we know that.
So, and so the condemning factor has to do with the fact that those that destroyed stuff, those guys need to go to jail, period. But,
Got it.
The same ones that did it for the BLM movement, they need to go to jail too.
Because we're getting off from the fact that the White House press secretary, you just said she had no talent.
She has no talent.
She is very talented.
That's my opinion.
But she's very talented at not telling the truth.
Well, yeah, she is talented. I will agree with you on that. She's a talented liar. Yes, she's a talented liar.
Okay,
so Jean-Pierre, you are
working for a habitual liar, a guy who just makes stuff. No, the thing about Biden is that he just makes stuff up. It is deceiving.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the shaman concept. He's entertaining you. He's trying
to
poke you. But the point is,
exaggeration is a lie.
Exaggeration is a lie. Basic. So the thing was is that you say she's a talented liar. I agree with you on that. She is.
There you go. There you go.
I think we're all in agreement. First time in how many shows? All agreed on something.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay.
Who was the guy that?
Yeah. You say she's a liar.
Catch me
but you
if
say
you
she's
can.
Not talented.
You know what
I
I'm
said
talking
she's talented
about?
And a liar. We are in agreement.
Yeah. She's a talented liar. Yeah.
Do you know? You remember the guy that was escaping and no one could catch him, and there was a movie about him, Catch Me If You Can.
No.
He kept on disguising.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, he's talented deceiver,
Abigail.
Right? So in the same
Frank
way.
Abigail, and I read his book.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The same way you're saying, you know, she's talented in distorting the truth. Yes.
Sure. Absolutely.
But that's what she's – but, no, here's the whole point. That's what the White House press secretary is actually paid to do.
I guess you could say – I guess you could say that serial killers at some point were talented too.
But here's the issue. Here's the issue. Bidenomics. Biden is trying to convince you that the economy is good. Okay.
Yep.
So she has to sell that package. Biden has probably told her, you got to convince everybody that there's no border problem.
Oh yeah.
When there is. Okay.
1,100 a day. So that's, let me get to that. 1,100 a day.
Yeah.
1,100 a day. Weapons, guns, drugs, sex trafficking, it all happens. But, you know, I had a friend of mine. So I post rapes. It's all child murder, everything. So I posted a thing on Facebook. And one of my friends, he came out and he says, you know, he said, there's a lot of human trafficking. He said, but, you know, really, who are the clients? It's Americans. You know, let me tell you something. We wouldn't have the supply if we didn't have the demand. And we have people in this country that are bad, bad men and women. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're wasting our time putting a guy like Derek Evans in jail, the cell that he was in, we could cram five or six of those thugs in one of those cells. And I don't know why in the world we're turning a blind eye to the fact that we have the demand. That's why that they have the supply. The drugs, there's a demand for it. Sex with kids, there's a demand for it. For the love of God Almighty, you know, why is this happening? I don't know. And it's because of the systematic destruction of the family unit, taking God out of school, taking God out of every, you know, coming up with their own ideas about what creation's all about. And truly, creation is all about God, and it explains it in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We can go right to it right now, Father Michael.
Did you hear the female senator from Alabama who went to the border three times the first few months she was in office, and she interviewed women that said they were gang raped, like daily, like they'd come in and out, and she talked about, you know, losing children, just the real horrors. And I really think there's been a deaf ear to those kind of tragedies. And sex trafficking. And I said to you and to our show, America mm-hmm. is great, but our citizenry is not good, not always good. And there is that demand, let's be frank.
Yes.
But the heinous things that are going on and allowed to go on, and then you can blatantly say, you know, I mean, Huckabee's daughter, I thought, was a good press secretary. There are others, Dana Perino, just to say he's done more for the border than anyone in history. I mean, it's so outlandish, you have to almost laugh. But
yeah.
It's so sad as to what's happening, and people are, you know, videoing it, going down there, and they're tone deaf, from Mayorkas to the president to the supposed czar, Vice President Harris. It's really a shame. It's really bad leadership. Really
well,
bad leadership.
Okay, once again, I'm going to have to disagree with you, because if it was that bad as you're claiming it is, we would
mm-hmm.
see AOC crying outside one of those fences.
Outside one of those what?
There's no fences. I mean, the fences are just about gone.
No. All right. You guys missed the joke.
Trump was the president.
He didn't
right,
even
like he
get
did.
To go inside and see the people. He was outside
mm-hmm.
the fence doing a
yeah.
photo
yeah,
op,
I remember.
Crying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't see AOC down at the border now.
Yeah.
She doesn't
well,
care.
Right.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
So.
She can just walk down to Brooklyn and see a whole bunch of them. You know, because and they're all
good,
coming in.
Good wit,
yeah, Rich. Yeah, no, that's reality of it. Yeah, she doesn't have to go to the border anymore. She can just check out her own city.
Yeah, go down to your own city. Go down to the bar that she used to attend, or she was a bartender, and look
so,
in there.
James, tell us about this 96-year-old, 94-year-old veteran that got displaced.
Absolutely, yeah. 95-year-old. A 95-year-old, I should have sent you all the story. I'm sorry, guys. The 95-year-old veteran, Korean War veteran, was living in a nursing home. And they got a notice. He says they gave us time. They told us.
What city and state?
New York.
Okay.
New York City.
All right. That's what we're doing. All right.
Yeah, New York City, outside of Hoboken, I believe, okay, where it's
right.
flooding.
And the thing
that's
everybody has to understand is it's the law. It
yeah.
is the law that the city has to provide for homeless people to stay. It's their law.
Mm-hmm.
They never anticipated
it. Some bad weather.
They are
today.
Now at the point. They are now at the point that they can't even afford. It's busting their budget.
Sure.
And they're already out of room. So now tell your story.
Yeah. So anyways, this 95-year-old veteran, Korean War veteran, you know, getting kicked out of my nursing home. Well, fortunately, you know, his daughter came and got him. But, you know, he's 95 years old. So imagine his daughter's probably in her 60s or 70s or, you know, at least in her late 60s or 70s, you know, now I've got to go and I've got to go pick my father up who is, you know, here he is right now. Let me pull this up so I can read this to you. 95-year-old veteran kicked out. Frank Tamaro, a 95-year-old Korean War veteran, recently shared how he was given less than 2 months to find a new housing situation after his nursing home was reportedly sold to be repurposed as a facility for undocumented migrants. I mean, so essentially the government, this is a government program. You know, there's a nursing home. Somebody owns a nursing home. It's a big business. It's kind of a sham too sometimes. We should have a show on nursing homes because I can tell you some horrible stories. But so you have this nursing home. The government comes in and says, hey, we're going to give you $6 million for this building so we can put, you know, immigrants in here. Write the check. So they say, write the check. Say, hey, look, all you old people got to get out of here because we're shutting her down. And we're bringing in these strong, healthy, primarily, and I'm telling you, the people that are crossing the border are not poor, innocent women and children. It's primarily And I'm telling you, at least 80% are men under the age of 40 years old, healthy men.
Oh, yeah.
So they're bringing them in to move into this place, going to turn it into a government housing complex. And so Mr. Frank, he's got to go out and try to find, well, where am I going to go? I have no other place to go. You know, they take all of your Social Security except for a few spending dollars, and you live in this place, you're fed, you're clothed, you go there to die. That's what a nursing home's for. A nursing home is a sham. A nursing home, in some cases, you've got to have some, but in some cases, it's a neglect of the family that has stopped taking care of the one that took care of them when they were helpless. And anyway, I don't want to get off on a tangent on that, but I just want to tell you that he got kicked out. So he goes, and back in March, guys, this was back in March. Never hit the media. Nobody ever said anything about it. It wasn't until, you know, he's been on the streets for a while and somebody happened to catch him. Hear the story. So it's almost October. We're just now hearing about it. Unbelievable. I think that's the tragedy too. But so that's what happened. So he was being forced to be out. But it's not just him. How many others were forced out, you know?
But it's the law. In New York City, or maybe the whole state, it's the law. You have to provide homeless people shelter.
Yeah. Who's going to provide shelter for those homeless people?
There's no law to protect them. No, the law is not designed to protect people who have earned a living and stuff and live below the poverty level. It's the law is to protect the homeless.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean, you've got the tragedy in itself.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's a veteran, to me, okay, I'm a veteran. We're all veterans, so it's upsetting. But it's just a tragedy that any 95-year-old American citizen is kicked out of their home to make way for illegal immigrants, period. You know, whether you're a veteran or not, every one of us that took an oath to this country, you know, we should all be really upset about this. I mean, we should be upset to the point to where we're peacefully, God forbid that we would say anything about, you know, making a change to the government. But we plan to make a change to the government. There's a bunch. I mean, listen, if we don't win this next election, there's 100% no doubt that we have a corrupt electoral system, and there is, I don't know of any other way to fix it at that point. I'm just telling you, there's, you know, unless all these illegal, undocumented, you know, people are going to vote. And if you got 1,100 coming in a day, voting age, you know, how many more votes have come in since Biden's been in office? 3.5-4
million
people.
But if they come from Venezuela, they're not going to vote for the Democrats, the Democratic Socialist Party. Okay, fire on them.
I hope you're right, Rich. I really hope you're right. But
no, we already know. Cubans and Venezuelans did not vote for the Democratic Party because it's going too far into socialism.
Right, and they know it firsthand.
Right, that's the whole point.
I spent time with Cubans in Miami. I did some schooling down there. And, you know, they're irate because of what they experienced and their parents and grandparents and they know the outcome.
Their families still living in Cuba. They get it firsthand. They know how bad Cuba is now.
Right.
So my question is why do you go down to the border of Mexico and I see more Middle Eastern and African men crossing that border than I see Hispanic men? That's what I
disagree with you. No. All right, where did you get that? You haven't been to the border. Everything I'm hearing, the majority of those people are Latins. Okay? There are some African people from other countries. China.
I have been to Russian. Let me correct you. I have been to the border.
Yes.
And I'm getting ready to go again to the border. This time I'm going to Arizona. and Greg Meekin and I are setting that trip up to go with Sheriff Mark Lamb. So I have been to the border, and I can tell you the people that I have seen coming across that border, not just on television, not just on video camera, but with my eyes, okay? I was in Texas not too long
ago. Right.
And I can tell you that what I saw coming across the border looked more like a lot of Haitians and people from Africa. They were very dark men.
Haitians or American?
They're not African.
I mean, they're African, but Haitians are part of this continent. Yeah,
well, what I'm
trying to get through. But I'm just telling you, everything
why are they
I'm reading,
how
because
are
they can't come through Florida. No, because they can't come through Florida. The Coast Guard will turn them away. So everybody knows if you want to get into America, you cross the southern border.
Pakistanis are coming across the border.
No, we know that. But I'm telling you, everything I'm reading, the majority of the people coming across are Latin Americans.
You and I should go down there. Why don't you and I should make that trip down there and look at, because in Arizona too, I'm hearing this very same thing. That it is not, it's not predominantly Latins, and they come in waves.
Mm-hmm.
It's, have you heard that? They come in these large groups.
I don't know. All the imagery I've seen both left and right, the bulk of it's Latins.
Mm-hmm.
And reality is our country's going to be better because of Latins. First of all, we took one third of Mexico away. Go ahead. Yeah.
Rich, you have said in the past, you know, because of your firsthand experience, that they're hard workers, and I think that's true, and that
they're
more
conservative
because they're family.
Right.
I'm not positive from some of the other reports that I have received. You know, and people are looking for a better life. I get that. You know, my grandfathers did that. But do you really think that they really are, and I'm not talking about MAGA conservative, but conservative in a sense, because even in breaking the law, I mean, you know, there was recently a report about a governor having a long-time affair. And, I mean, if you have certain things that you do in secret, how much can we trust you in your persona that's public? And I'm just wondering if we really can say that there's going to be a contribution to the fabric morally to our country. And now I know people are desperate. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to have a lack of compassion on that. But there's also a lot of crime that's going on. And if you'd listen to this Alabama senator, I think her last name is Brett, I mean, she was horrified. She's been there three times, and she just got elected into office. You know, she interviewed a number of people. And so I'm just wondering if we're characterizing that from past experience, or is that the generation that's coming in? And as James said,
Are you implying when you talk about crime? See, the way I look at it is, yes, there are criminals, there are bad characters sprinkled in among these thousands of illegals that are coming across every day. Are you implying that the majority of these illegals coming across are criminals?
No,
or is
no,
there
I'm not.
Sprinkling of criminals?
I know that they're being manipulated by the cartels, and what I can't understand is there are 150 cartels. We can't deal with them. They're terrorizing our hemisphere. No, I'm not suggesting that at all. I am doubting.
I'm going to tell you right now, they're not terrorizing our hemisphere. They're exploiting
the cartels
our hemisphere
are not?
Because of. No, they're not terrorizing us. They're terrorizing the Mexicans. They're terrorizing their government, but they are exploiting our weaknesses and our addictions. They are, as James pointed out, they are supplying us we want when it comes to drugs or child pornography, pedophilia, whatever vice you have.
Right.
The cartel
sex
will supply it because it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But I believe that's a sprinkling that's coming through there. The vast majority of those people coming across are very hardworking, probably talented and educated Latin Americans from Venezuela or whatever who are escaping their country because it was destroyed economically, and they want to come here and prosper, and they will. Well, if they get their work visas and stuff like that, they will, if they're allowed to contribute, because every one of us, unless you're a Native American, every one of us descends from an immigrant. And my experience in working with, you know, immigrants, and I've known some that have either come in illegally or overstayed their visa, and they're all hardworking. And because of that status, they are very law-abiding. Now, you get MS-13.
See, but what's happening in the hotels in New York, though, with throwing out the food, rioting, there's a lot of unrest, and I don't see that. And I know the Venezuelans have been granted their work visas. I get what you're saying, but I'm not seeing it. In the same way as we were told that the Summer of Love was mostly peaceful,
right. And
you really got to be ignorant to say that. And I don't see...
You're probably right in the fact that I may be ignorant because I'm not seeing it. We'll point out the difference between ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance is
I'm not saying you're ignorant.
No, but I may be. Going to admit I may be. Mm-hmm. I'm basing my judgment on personal experience with Latins that have come to this country and those that have been known, all right, and that because we can't trust the media. That's the real problem.
Right. That's true.
No one's telling us the whole story, all right, unless you have eyes on. And so I'm saying, I could be very ignorant of the situation in New York City. All I'm hearing is it's money that we've got. So now New York City is experiencing what the cities on the southern border are experiencing. But the difference is in the cities in the southern border do not have a law that forces them to provide a home for these people.
So let me say, go back to the original.
Go ahead.
Okay. Every one of them that cross the border illegally are lawbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
They're criminals. At that point, you're a criminal. Now, let's just go on and set the facts right on that, because you don't just come in here and steal your way in to be a citizen of the United States. And I can tell you, I've got really good friends in the military Order of the Purple Heart that are Mexican Americans that stood in line. I had Tony Casada from Texas told me, says, I was 16 years old in 1965, and I stood in a line with a packet, and I waited and waited and waited.
Right.
And when I came to America, I had to have a skill. I had to learn the language. And what he did was join the Army as soon as he could get in, because he wanted to show America, and legally, by the way.
And it will serving in the military, because I have a Costa Rican friend that did the same thing. Serving in the military will expedite your citizenship.
Yes.
Yes.
And, but the thing
my wife is, the thing is, there's a lot of Latins who everybody thinks, well, the Latins are united and they're going to we all want to support illegal cross. No, they don't. No, they don't. In fact, my wife's sitting there going, no, you need to come in legally.
Legally.
You want to be, you want to get into this country, find yourself a dumb gringo and marry him.
Well, Rick Kilblaine's already taken, though.
are other dumb gringos out there, okay?
hey, guys, when I went to England and had my visa when I was doing my doctoral work, I had to show that I could support myself. Like, there's got to be some criteria.
Yeah.
You can't just take everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you mentioned, because it's not right to say some people have to do this and not. But obviously it's a major problem, but I'm really concerned about the sex trafficking and what this senator reported about the abuse. And, if the border control, really can't do what they're supposed to do, because they're humanitarian. It's kind of like our soldiers sometimes, and right. I guess National Guard. It's upsetting that these types of things could happen. I know there's a lot of chaos. I don't know if you heard right. from the Prime Minister of Italy. She got all over Germany's Prime Minister because they were doing things that were impacting her country without even giving her a back brief of what they were doing. She wrote her a real, you know, as an Italian, she wrote her a real difficult letter. And it definitely is a problem. And, you know, I know that Vice President, who's the czar, you know, she's talking about root causes, yep. but I don't think we've really dealt with anything. And now we have a crisis on our hands. We really
right.
do.
Okay.
And people want to come.
Let me
because they know they'll be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let me put my spin on this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We need immigrants. We need immigrants because we can't count.
Legal immigrants, yes.
Yeah, well, no. I'm telling you, immigrants. But we should set up a system
right.
to bring in the right amount and right number of legal immigrants. But we don't. We don't. Congress won't address this responsibility. Right, and when any president gets up there and says that it's Congress's problem, they're absolutely right. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. So, what is the latest poll that said like 66 or 67% of young men in this Generation Z have no intention? They've given up on dating.
Mm-hmm.
They don't plan to get married.
Yeah,
and then we look at the number of people that. They get married. They don't. No, they don't even get married. They live together and they have kids. Look, I'm telling you, just based on my son. All right, that generation is not going to reproduce. Okay,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to reproduce. Okay, they're incapable of it. Right, because of their lack of social skills. They can't learn from their parents, and because mm-hmm. of me too. Asking a woman out for a date could be referred to as sexual harassment. They
oh, God.
Mm-hmm. And let's just talk about, so you finally get lucky and get laid. You now are worried about that woman coming back and saying you raped her.
Well, it happens.
Later, years later, Russell Brand, a British comedian, is now being excommunicated, all right, because he was very, very liberal, and then he becomes anti-government, and when you listen to him, he starts becoming more and more conservative. All of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
now there's these
sure.
women coming out who are attacking him, saying
mm-hmm.
sexual harassed him or whatever, and he's denying it, but he's already being persecuted. You know, because he has really good YouTube following and stuff like that. I don't know what – I follow him on YouTube. He's really entertaining
mm-hmm.
to listen to. I don't always
mm-hmm.
agree with him, but I really enjoy his take on things. All right? He isn't pro-left. He isn't pro-right. Government is really screwing us over. And the thing
mm-hmm.
is, so all of a sudden, a bunch of women from his past accuse him
yeah,
of rape.
Saw
okay.
that, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
All right. So let's look at this. The guy was a celebrity, and women are throwing themselves at him.
Yeah.
Why would he have to rape anyone? Okay. But anyway,
well,
hey, but it, but
yeah,
but because
too.
Now
yeah.
attacking the government,
yeah.
stuff like that, which the government is liberal, they're trying to shut this guy down.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I mean, and look.
All right,
you,
this is my shout-out. Russell Brand, everybody.
Well,
great,
Cuba
great
Gooding,
comic.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Go look at his YouTube videos.
Cuba Gooding Jr., our actor here, is dealing
right.
with that right now. Every one of them that has – look, and look, you go in, and I know this will probably, you know, come around hard on people, but nearly every organization and corporation, the top tier level people that are running these companies are all women now. Every one
no,
of them.
No, they're not. No, they are not. No,
go
they
look.
Are not.
Go look.
No, I looked. It is still women.
Rich,
the
you aren't,
women
you aren't
are
the same
not
world
the majority of CEOs.
I'm
no,
telling
I've
you right
seen
now.
The statistics. What?
I don't care. I'm seeing reality out here.
No. Well,
I'm
okay,
telling you
so
right
you
now.
Tell me, I'm reading statistics. You tell me where your source of numbers are coming from.
Look.
Name.
All right.
So you're saying reality. Name the businesses are run by women. What's
well,
your
sure.
Source?
Go to Colt Firearms. I can tell you this. You know.
Okay.
Just go look it
all
up.
Right. So you just mentioned, I don't know, but you just mentioned one company that is run by a woman.
What do you want me to do? Take up the next 45 minutes to explain
no,
all these
James,
companies?
Here's the deal. You see one thing, and you think that's the whole world.
No, Rich, I'm not ignorant.
Yes, you
I'm
do,
not,
James.
No, I do
I'm
not.
I'm telling you.
And I'm
everything
telling
I'm reading
you
is women are still
telling
struggling
you,
to break that barrier.
You know what, Rich? That's the problem. You don't listen to everything that's being said. What I'm telling you is...
No, I'm reading. I read.
I read. But I also see and also communicate. I'm still working out here in this world. I see what is happening. The majority of what you're seeing, and I'm going to tell you why.
Right.
It's because... very thing that you were saying, because they have to change their image. They have to change the image. Look, the whole Appalachian Regional Commission, let's just take that as an organization.
Okay.
Go look at all the makeup there. Joe Manchin's wife runs it, essentially, and just go down the line. Find me, tell me how many
well,
men.
All right.
Are in
when
there.
You just said Joe Manchin's wife, and that sounds like
yeah.
Bob Dole's wife. That doesn't
well,
sound like people trying to change her image. That sounds like nepotism. Okay.
It might be nepotism. But
yeah,
what, I'm,
okay.
what I'm saying is that
right.
you don't you're right about what you're saying about these guys. They get successful. They're afraid
right.
to ask women out. You're right about that. And you're
right
about
right.
that because of the control factor, because of the fact that, listen, it's a well-known fact. If you don't like
no,
somebody,
no. All right.
you
what,
can
what
take
I'm
them
trying,
out
okay.
the right
what you're
hemming
around is, and you said this once before, you condemn the Me Too movement, and it's like every woman that accuses someone of raping her is a liar.
I
right?
did not
said,
say
no,
that.
No, it's really. Not.
I
no,
look,
you didn't, but you
I,
implied
I,
it.
No,
but here's
did,
the issue.
Right. No, I
here's
did not imply it either. You're,
yes,
you're trying,
he did.
You're trying to prove,
no,
Rich, you're trying
in a serious
to
argument. Every, the way you said it was an exaggeration.
No, it's yeah. not an it's not an exaggeration. You're sitting here going off on a tangent right now about one guy. I'm telling you, there's a lot more guys out there that
no,
happened.
What I'm telling you is everything I'm reading about women in the workforce is they still are underrepresented at the top echelon.
Listen, it's definitely not as bad as it was 10 years ago.
All right. So, no, just make a statement and we'll move on. What I'm saying is everything I'm reading is saying that
what
women
sources,
are...
Rich, you've been
wait,
asking,
no, just let,
Rich,
me, let me finish.
You've been asking
let
James
for
sources.
God damn
yeah,
it.
But state your sources, though. You've been asking James what sources. Now, you've got to do
yeah,
that, too.
Yeah.
In real debate,
yeah.
you have to speak your
yeah.
sources.
Yeah,
if you
he,
say
he,
you've been reading a lot about that, I'm not mm-hmm. agreeing or disagreeing with you, but you're not giving any real valid sources. So I think it's important if this argument's going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is that I was agreeing with him that there is a movement out there. There is a and look, it goes back to what I truly believe is the destruction of the family unit. You know, and like it or not, men have a role, women have a role, kids have a role, grandparents have a role. You know, we all have a role in the family, and that role has been totally shifted to, you know, you've watched it, Father Mike. I mean, it's not like I'm trying to say, look, I'm glad that more women are in the workforce. I work with women every day. You know, I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not saying that all women that accuse somebody of rape, you know, 20 years ago made it up. But I'm saying that, you know, what I'm saying is why wait so long? The people that I know personally that have been sexually assaulted, and I mean really sexually assaulted, not went out on a date, had sex with somebody, then felt bad about it. You know what I mean? But I'm talking about people that were
well, look
really.
Look what happened to Mike Tyson. She, in the middle of it. he said no. And, you know, he was right in the middle, no turning back, you know, and he wound up in prison. And, you know, we haven't always, as men, especially macho, treated women properly. But now I know as a chaplain in the military, man, if you do the wrong thing, even assassinating your character makes you look suspicious as far as promotion and things of that nature. So the tables have turned, and this is what I have seen. The oppressed have become the oppressors. We see that in a lot of situations where people are trying to get back. It's the law of reciprocity, and that's no way to break this cycle of madness. But you see these same things now. You know, you did it to me, I'm going to do it to you, so it's just going to keep on going. And, of course, men have become emasculated for the most part. Rich mentioned about being even afraid to ask for a date, you know, in any kind of an assertive manner because you're perceived, you know, as being a predator. You know, I see it on the campuses as well. The tables have really been turned. But what I'd like to hear, I'm enjoying your argument, but neither one of you are given, you know, we say statistics, that's so nebulous. What studies, sociologists do a lot of stuff. I'm sure there's been an increase, but as Rich stated, there's probably still, you know, a deficit where there's not as much progress that we might think. And I would like to know, what are these articles or what are these things that we're reading as far as our evidence? Hello?
Rich, James? Are we still on live? I don't hear anyone talking. Okay. Well, you know, we're just talking about the importance when we talk about studies and things of that nature. I've taught critical thinking for many years. And there's a lot of emotion that goes on over these situations. And both of these gentlemen had great arguments and perspectives. But like anything else, you know, I tell my students, if you're being defended by an attorney and all he does is try to get the people excited, but says, I really don't have any empirical data or any evidence, well, certainly, substantial evidence is not valid. And so all I'm saying is, you know, let's cite some things that people can look at and read for themselves. And I'm always concerned about the sources because, you know, we've said this with watching the news. You go to one place, you know exactly what you're going to get. You know, it's kind of a group think. You can't think for yourself. And you go to another place and you get another perspective. There doesn't seem to be any objectivity. And I found it very difficult with my students. There's not too many free thinkers. And I'm just curious, you know, what are these sources? What are these studies? I think we need to present them if our argument's going to stand.
Yeah, I agree. You've got to have, you know,
empirical data.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to have empirical data. We all have our own opinions. You know, I mean, I have my opinion and, you know, we just had a gentleman, you know, that spoke about his opinion and he was very upset. You know, I'll just tell you, well, not extremely upset. He was just upset with, you know, the argument that was, he wanted to hear the same thing that you're saying right now. You know, he wanted, you know, us to have some simple dialogue back and forth and not, you know, to have the, you know, the head bashing going on, and I'm not sure why. I mean, that goes down like that. But so,
do you know Heather McDonald, a sociologist? James, are you familiar with Heather McDonald?
I am not, but I sure would like to hear about her.
She wrote a book, The War on Cops, Are Cops Racist? Just from an academic perspective, I've listened to her. I've read her. I've seen her interviewed. The woman is a real sociologist and has really done research to dispel a lot of myths and a lot of emotion and a lot of things that are overheard. And I think Rich could be absolutely right in what he's saying, but I think it gives more credibility to our audience that, you know, he is a historian, he is a theologian, that we're able to back it up with respectable data that helps people. I highly recommend her. I mean, she's controversial because a lot of people don't really want to hear what she has to say, but I work with a police department and I want to educate myself. But she is a verified sociologist, bona fide, really, and her research is just astounding, and she's a real academic. I think that really you have a lot of people that have, like you said, feelings. You know, when you read about that veteran, I'm going to be honest with you, his last name sounded Italian, and that really had a little bit of an impact on me, to be honest with you, as a Korean War veteran. So I just think that data is very important.
Yeah, it
so we
it
have
is.
Greater credibility with the audience that they know we're really doing our homework.
Well, and that's, you know, and that's – so I will try to do my very best to say this is my opinion, and this is – and I've heard you say that multiple times. You know, this is my beliefs, my opinion. This is the way I feel. So the way that I feel about the broken immigration system is I feel personally that it is robbing our grandchildren of a potential future. I feel that it is setting us up. What I really feel is that we don't know how many bad people are in this country. And, you know, if 1,100 a day are coming across, and even if just
5%,
10%, or 11, or, you know, 110 or whatever, you know, come in to this country. So
wrong motivation now. What vetting, and even medically, we had such a hysteria over the vaccines and masks. And it's kind of a two standards, hypocritical. You don't know what's being brought into the country. I mean, Ellis Island, okay, if you ever watched The Godfather, my grandparents came to Ellis Island. I mean, if you had a certain thing, I mean, of course, scurvy goes back, you know, to the Civil War or whatever. But if you had a certain thing, you were detained. And it's really not fair not to vet people. You know, just to say they're seeking asylum and they're all coming because they want to work and they all have good intentions, that's naive. That's very naive to think that. I don't believe that for a moment, because anthropologically, I don't have a high regard for humanity, because I know myself. By the end of the illustrious career of St. Paul, he called himself the chief of sinners. It's not an excuse. But you have to have a sense of depravity and really where you match that. I mean, look at the atrocities that we see. Reading the news every day, I try to keep myself well-informed for the show. And I tell you, it's defiling sometimes, but it's true. Now, there's a lot of good also. I love what Rich said earlier. He says you can't trust the media. I agree with that.
Yes,
that's why we have to research the media. I'm not stupid. I'm not a Kool-Aid drinker that I'm just going to listen to what they tell me and believe it. You know, sometimes I feel like they think we're idiots like I can't analyze something myself. But, you know, we have low information voters. We have people that are lazy and they won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned this sociologist, and I'm not real impressed with a couple of what I call soft scientists, and I'm not trying to, you know, soft sciences, I'm not trying to sound elitist or whatever. They're not hard scientists. But some research is very compelling. I mean, they've really done the work. They've done the homework. Yeah, like they went down to the border and counted the different ethnicities or whatever. That's research. You know,
mm-hmm.
you just can't speculate about that before you make a statement. And I'm not saying that toward anybody. It's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to be credible. I told you I had a situation where there was a sample from a survey that was done, and when we got to the bottom of it, we found out the survey only consisted of 6 people.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, these big, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of deception, a lot of manipulation that can go on, you know, with statistics and stuff. And sure, we've seen it even in the military. You know, more female leaders and different, but they're competent and qualified, and you know, they've gone through all the necessary things. And sure, there was a disparity, you know, but you also mentioned the neglect of the home when the nurturing person is not there and they're deployed. I had a 2 sergeants in my battalion at Fort Bragg, and the female sergeant, she would cry every day because the caregiver said, oh, your child said their first word today. They took their first step. And she was crying to me, the chaplain, I got to get out. I don't want to miss those important things. And I don't think a man would feel that as readily, okay, just the way God made us and the way we're designed. And so I know my wife has always worked outside of the home, except when we started adopting children. She gave a very good job. She stayed with all the children. Then she went back into the workforce when the baby went to school. And, you know, you can't put a price on that, nor, you know, what that child's receiving, okay? And look, the husband has a responsibility as much. I always laugh because I have 7 grandchildren and had 5 children, but I have changed more diapers on my grandchildren than I did with my children. And, you know, we have to contribute as well. But you don't have to lose the warrior spirit or lose what you've been called to do in being a protector and a provider and things of that nature. You can't emasculate men. And, you know, now we're hearing women say that they can't find real masculine men. And most
mm-hmm.
of the guys are wimps,
and effeminate.
That's not
yeah.
a good thing either. And we know that not the testosterone, but also the sperm count, for some reason, it could be our diet, it could be an environment, but it's declining. This is a real concern. It's
yeah.
a real concern about the future of what we leave, as you have said, our children and grandchildren. I'm concerned about that. You know, when
yeah.
we're in the military, we would leave our post and we said, I left this post better than I found it. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're going to be able to say that to our children and grandchildren, that we left it better than we found it.
No, I don't think we can either. And that's interesting that you bring that up about the sperm count and the, you know, there's a lack of testosterone. And I'm not talking about, you know, and we've been around we've been around some loudmouth, arrogant. There's a difference between
mm-hmm.
being a man and being arrogant and being a bully. I mean, there's a big difference in that. But you're right. They have, how do they say that, emasculated?
Emasculated.
Yeah. And, you know, we used to always joke about it. You know, they've cut them off and hung them up over the fireplace. You know what I mean? Of men. And it's a sad situation. My father was was a, you know, a hard man, but he was, you know, he was a good dad. My grandfather was hard and tough, but he was a good man. You know, there were times he hugged you when you needed to be hugged, but he also swatted you when you needed to be swatted. Wow. And, you know,
velvet and steel. You gotta know when to be velvet and when to be steel.
You know,
do you remember Rocky won when he wanted a fight again? And he said, mm-hmm. "Don't stop me from being a man. I haven't stopped you from being a woman." Like he just mm-hmm. felt like he had to have that second fight. And a woman, you know, my son became 14, say to my wife, "Thank you for all you've done, but you don't know how to make him a man." Mm-hmm. And you know, my son was a champion wrestler, and he went to Afghanistan, you know, with those small groups. I had to give him something she could not. But she gave him, and I see him today so balanced, she gave him some things that I could not. But, you know, one time my daughter was trying to go for my breast when I was holding her, a little baby. I said, "Got the wrong person. I don't have the apparatus here." And so, I mean, it's foolish for us to not look at the difference. And now we're not just talking about being, you know, toxic or, you know, being macho, but we're saying being one who takes responsibility, you know, one who can be who God made him to be, you know, who shaves. Did you see that shaving commercial? I guess it had a trans person shaving who I don't even know if they had
no
hair on their face, but they had had some kind of mastectomy or something. I mean, it's just gone crazy. And I think we shrink back sometimes in fulfilling the God-given role, not being cruel, but being assertive and aggressive and going after things. That's our nature. You know, they talked about this one girl that played, safety or whatever, in a low division college game. And, you know, I don't think in our lifetime in professional football we're ever going to see a female in any position. I mean, let's look at the fact we're different, okay?
Yeah.
And we can try to push the agenda, and it's not even about, you know, being hurt or trying to protect people, because we've talked about on this show many competent women. I had one of my former cadets get through Ranger School, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're not saying that, okay, but we're saying there's a distinction. And I remember I was at the Menninger Clinic for the Army. I studied there for about a week or so, very intensely. And a woman stood up and she said, "Stop trying to put us under the same rubric." She was talking especially PT test, "as you." Mm-hmm. "We're not built like you. We're mm-hmm. not built. You know, we don't have, you know, the same muscle mass." And come on, let's be logical. You know, let's not throw our common sense out the window.
Well, I've never seen the, you know, the trans and the, you know, well, I just, you know, there's several videos out there, kids in school. I just saw where a boy, you know, a trans boy, you know, attacked a much smaller girl, grabbed her by the hair, threw her down, just pounded her. You know what I mean? Just, you know, he's a boy. He was, you know, he was stronger and he got her from behind, you know, and, but, you know, I mean, the whole situation with that, it comes down to, again, what I think, and I'm trying to figure out, what is the benefit of destroying the family unit? I mean, that cannot be just a political thing. That has got to be something so malevolent and evil. It just,
I heard an African-American man talking about that today, and, you know, how there was marriage during slavery and, you know, after slavery and how, you know, the family has really eroded. And really, that is the foundation stone. And I do think there's a demonic attack on the family. And, you know, we need each other. You know, the child needs a father and a mother. And, you know, in even developing, you know, different aspects of the things we deal with that maybe a female would not, and vice versa. You can't tell me some of these trans men, and I've heard them talk about, oh, I got my period, this and that. Oh, really? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's foolishness, you know. I had four daughters. Certain times of the month, I'd look at my son and say, let's go out, let's leave, you know. And, you know, to pretend certain things, and that's what it is pretending. It's really a lack of intelligence, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's deception.
It is. And as I'm thinking of, as I'm watching everything, it just doesn't make sense to me that a president would support the overall destruction of the family unit, which I believe 100%, you know, I mean, two men pretending like they have a baby. Come on, man. I mean, you know, that's obscene. I mean, that really is. And if they want to do that, okay, all right. You want to pretend that you have a baby. You want to pretend that whatever you want to do. But it shouldn't be made a part of an image that we have to somehow bow down to. And that's what I feel like right now. It's beyond just the acceptance. Don't, you know, it started off with don't abuse us, don't make fun of us, to, you know, don't even mention or look at us or you will get arrested. You know what I mean? You will get beat or your house will get burned down, you know? Let me just say, as the president, you're sitting there and he supports this monstrosity. And then in addition to that, he has no problem with turning a blind eye to all of this illegal immigration. And everyone that crosses the border illegally is a criminal. Whether they are a murderer or a rapist, they're a criminal the minute they illegally cross this border. So you're here illegally. That makes you a criminal. You know, if you don't go through the process to stay here legally, that makes you a criminal at large. Or I'm trying to think of the.
I can't tell you how many times when I gave up my visa going into England when I was doing my PhD, I got put in this little section. You know, I felt like I was in the principal's office.
Right.
And I explained to the border control there, I gave up my visa. You didn't forfeited. I want to go home and see my wife, and I'm not, you know, there you had to sign in every month. After I was there for several months and had my proposal accepted, I went back and forth. But they made it, you know, and I guess there's a show in England that makes fun of the border control, but they would make me sit in this little section until they verified and I had numbers, I missed my bus, this and that. And so, I mean, why do I have to go through that? And then before, when I got my visa, I had to show them I could support myself. I mean, we're not thinking about the fact that there's some criteria. Now, asylum's different. Okay, if it can be proven that you're escaping from abuse. But they're just not thinking it through. And, you know, now after they've not thought it through, just like other things with, you know, drugs on the streets or whatever. And then when it blows up in their face, then it's like, oh, we were wrong. Well, in the interim, who pays? You know, the citizens. If we have no border at all, then what's the use of having the border? You know, it just makes sense.
Yeah. I agree with you. If you don't, well, many, many people have said it. If you don't have a border, you don't have a country.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are welcome. I mean, we have to look in the scripture, and I mean to cut you, James. I'm sorry. God wants us to be kind to the foreigner. You know, I want to be compassionate to those. You know, if it wasn't for my grandfather coming to this country, I would never have achieved what I have by the grace of God. Okay. Okay. So So yes, but you know, you got to do things correctly. You know, if you want to go to a college, you don't just walk in and say, I'm accepted. You got to go through a process. You got to fill out an application. You got to pay money. You got to have a certain level of academic prowess. Mm-hmm. You're going to go into a company and say you don't have to show any criteria. You're just a citizen now because you walked in. Well, try
right.
that at a college. Try that at Harvard. Okay? You know, I went there. Okay? Just, oh, I'm here. You have to accept me. I'm going to be in whatever class I want to go. You know, I don't have to pay. I mean, if you break it down like that, it shows how idiotic and illogical it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
I'm,
true.
I'm a citizen. You know, I'm just here. Give me all the benefits. You know, give me health care. I mean, it doesn't, you, when you go in the Army, you process. Can you imagine if somebody came into basic training? Oh, I'm just here. I didn't take any shots. I didn't take any ASVAB test. I didn't take any physical. I'm overweight, but I'm here. I'm in the battalion. You know, and we would never do that. You
yeah.
get people. You go through so much to qualify. Remember when I went the second time, they said, you're a little older than these people. But yeah, it's my second time around. But you have to qualify. And you can try again to get into that college. You can try again to get into the military. You just don't walk in and say, I'm here.
True. True. And you know, there's requirements to be here in this country. And one of those things, you know, the Ellis Island that you mentioned, I mean, all of our families, you know, came here, you know, from wherever. Ours from Ireland, Scotland, you know, yours from Italy. But they came, they had to, I mean, they just didn't come here to suck off the government teat. You know, I mean, it was because there was no teat to suck on. It was, you have to make it.
Right.
You have to
right.
farm, get a job,
yeah.
join the military, something, you know.
My grandfather came for a year and then went back for my grandmother and two children. He worked for a year.
Yeah.
Then
that
he
is.
Was able to send for them. And he owned like a 2-3 family house. I mean, you know, he was just a farmer in Italy, he and my grandmother. 21
mm-hmm.
years old when they got married, they were farmers. And, you know, he was a garbage man in Lower Manhattan, worked in a factory. I mean, you know, you could make it if you're willing to put in the sweat equity.
Mm. Exactly. I agree with that. And I think that, we have a problem right now. We have a problem, but everything just seems to be attacking, whatever you would call it, the traditional family, you know,
the
nuclear family. And, you know, it is and it's a vicious attack. It really is. So why, you know, like Rich was saying, you know, well, you know, nobody is, you know, they're not having children. They're not getting, you know, he's right about that. You just mentioned that. Testosterone levels are down. I think that could be attributed to the lack of actual, you know, physical labor and work. I mean, there is a level of work. I mean, testosterone is created in your body naturally. But you can also.
I read an article with some of the young people today. This one article, it was heartbreaking, and the woman said he'd rather, because he's so addicted to pornography in his life, he'd rather masturbate than touch me.
Oh, that's
terrible.
I mean,
something is wrong with men.
Yeah.
If a piece of paper or a video does more than flesh of your wife, and you know something's perverse about that. And
yeah.
It was a heartbreak to read this article, you know, and it's like, I know because I hear confessions, and I know because I've been counseling almost 50 years that it's a major problem. It's a major problem. And I think some of it may have to do with confidence, that some men don't feel confident for a lot
well,
of different reasons.
Well,
so it's easier to take it into your own hands.
If they sit around
again?
And watch. if they sit around and watch pornography, they try to measure themselves against these pornography videos, which, you know, are, number one, they're not realistic. In most cases, they are, you know, days and days of filming, to make it appear that there's this, and there's just a lot of stuff that goes into that industry. That industry, honestly, should be shut down. I think it's the most destructive industry in America. I think that it ranks right up there with drug
money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're making big money. Yeah.
You know, and at what point do we say, you know, does this really fall under the realm of exercising your constitutional rights? There's so much exploitation in the porn industry.
Well, there's a Greek word in the Bible, pornea, okay? Mm-hmm. And it can be translated in a lot of ways, but you're definitely destroying your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely living in a fantasy world. You're definitely
mm-hmm.
opening yourself up to addiction, okay? And it's not like it's an unpardonable sin, but that's not fantasizing. It's not mm-hmm. realism, where you think this person on the page or this person in a video is interested in you, and
right.
you're fantasizing about it. So there's a lot of psychological implications to it as well.
Yeah. And then on top of all this that we're discussing, we're looking at 24 hours from a government shutdown right now.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I've been getting stuck in the VA and USAA. And what are your thoughts about, is it going to happen or is it a threat or?
Well,
how does it impact us?
You know, I think that I don't think it'll impact us immediately. I think it'll be all well, the government shut down, and then, you know.
But our benefits, they won't stop?
I hear that our benefits will
yeah.
not stop.
Because, you know, you get older, you depend a little more on, you know, what you've spent your life doing.
Yeah.
And,
our retirement's very important, Father Mike.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. And, you know, and that's so much different. That's so much different than just never working in your life. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I get up and I work, you know, and I go to work, you know, 6 days a week. I mean, it's just
mm-hmm.
the way that.
That's right.
And I couldn't imagine not doing that.
No, me too. And I'll be 70 in January. You know, I'm not retired, but I do have some benefits because of my injuries. But
yes, absolutely.
You don't have dignity. You see, some people live for leisure, and we can't be dependent on anyone but God. And
mm-hmm.
You have to have purpose. You know, I know Rich is doing a lot of good stuff with what he's got passion and purpose about, but you have to get up. You know, my wife, she left teaching. Last paycheck came in, she got a part-time job. I mean, you can't stop functioning. And for some of us, you know, we have to more than others, but I think that becomes problematic where the government becomes God and they become the source of our provision.
Yeah, it's
not if you've earned it. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
We pay the price. You pay the price more than all of us on the show. But,
But, you know, it's one of those things that even with all of that, you know, you still work, I still work, we still study, we still read, you know, we try
mm-hmm.
to keep ourselves educated. And you know, Rich doesn't think that I read, but I do. I mean, I do read a lot. I read a lot. And but I listen and I try to pay attention to things. And I've never been so troubled or worried about our country than I am now. Never. I mean,
I think 50. It's also important what we read. I listen to about four different news feeds. I think that there's got to be an objectivity. Some of them have turned to one way, and I know even I'm on the theological commission. That's why I wasn't on last week. We worked really hard studying, looking at different perspectives, and there has to be an objectivity. But some of the Greeks especially encourage older people. Sometimes we think that we know everything, and we should be learning every day. My wife has shared with me on her new job, says, I learn everything every day. Of course, you know the famous quote by Thomas Jefferson, I cannot live without books. And I picked up a couple pencils when I went to visit his house. But I just think that it's important that we're teachable, that we're docile, that we're not know-it-all, that we can correct each other, we can learn from each other, and we can stand corrected because the evidence, the empirical data shows us that we might think a certain thing, we might feel a certain thing, but if it doesn't pan out, okay, I didn't feel like I had cancer, but then I got a biopsy, and the doctor told me you have cancer. Okay, I didn't think he even said, oh, it doesn't feel like, but if you were my older brother, I'd encourage you to get it. Okay, so once the data came back, I couldn't put my head in the ground like an ostrich and pretend it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm talking about, If you want to lie and you say, well, it's wrong, okay, it could be wrong, right? Take it again.
That's right.
Those biopsies are not, wow, that's not fun. It's not fun at all.
But you know what, though? By the grace of God, here you are right now. And you're the first one that will say that. I mean, I've listened to you. So, and I tell you, Greg Meekin and I, him and Val talk about you all the time. And my son talks about you. I mean, so it's like you have an impact. And what they say is they say, you have a guy that's, and look, your credentials are very, very impressive, extremely impressive. But it's like you would sit down at Bob Evans and eat with me, the local restaurant here, I mean, it's not like, and that's the cool thing, about having us all on the show like this is that, there's a level of professionalism and not arrogance.
Yes.
And people are so much eager to, to be drawn to that. And then you get a chance to win people over, for Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing,
mm-hmm.
And it's, I pray, we had a gentleman that called in on the radio show, and I get these calls all the time, Father Mike, and
mm-hmm.
And I knew that he was just calling in to, and he to say, hey, I want to talk to this Rich Kilblaine, and really started to hammer on Rich, and then started saying some just really bizarre things about being transgender and all this other stuff. And, some people have a mental illness, but we also get equally and more so calls from people or messages, people that's reached out to you at, from that heard and they've tracked you down. And that are really good messages, so I think that we're making an impact. That's why I tell you that. I think we're making an impact.
Yep. There's a quote I want to read to you. It is always in season for old men to learn. And it's an ancient Greek. And I think that docility and teachableness is so important. That we come not to show what we know, but to see collectively, a cord of three strands cannot be broken. The fact that there's three of us helps us to crystallize our thinking. It's very important like that. And I've seen young people, they stop learning, they're not reading. And that's a shame because we're going to grow all through eternity. We're never going to stop developing. And So I'm grateful for the stimulation from the show that causes us all to think.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. And you know, and here we are at the end of the show. We got 3 minutes and 24 seconds. So I'm going to hand the show over to you to where you can pray for this country and all of us and add a prayer for me and my family. And you will close it out.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great opportunity. I thank you for James, Lord, and all that he does. And thank you for Rich, Lord God, and his contribution. But, Lord, even as James said, we need to pray for our country, not just criticize. We need to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. But Lord, we have to be able to be self-deprecating and look at ourselves. You say that those who call on your name have to forsake their wicked ways. And then as they cry to you in heaven, you'll bring healing to our land. And so, God, I just pray you'd help us to walk in humility, love, and respect one another. And I pray for all of our listeners, Lord. I pray that we all can learn from each other. I ask and pray a blessing on the future of this podcast. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And as we always say at the end of this show, join us Friday night for Continue Mission. It's from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And, you know, if you know somebody out there that's running for office and maybe they're getting ignored by the media and, you know, they can't get their 2 or 3 minutes or 10 minutes or, you know, look, as long as they're not preaching some kind of craziness, bring them on the show. We'll give you a platform to speak your piece. Mm-hmm. Just because I think that, and we all think that it's very important that no matter how much money you have in your political campaign, you should be given a voice and be allowed to be elevated to the point to where you can plead your case to the voters. And Continue Mission is all about being that place as well. And so if you want to do that, call in. Father Mike, you got any words of wisdom in this last minute?
Yeah, just peace. You know, we got to be at peace within ourselves and be not peacekeepers like we were in the military, but peacemakers. And I think Dr. King talked a lot about that. And there's just so much vitriol and so much hatred. Acerbic kind of bitterness in people that's spewing out. And we really need to have more love, be peacemakers. We did our peacekeeping. Now let's be peacemakers in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Well, folks, thank you for joining us tonight on Continue Mission. We say to you, have a wonderful and blessed evening and a blessed weekend. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you again next Friday. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.